Hello, and welcome once again to NaturalDocRadio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed clinical nutritionist, and I'm here today with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as always, here on NaturalDocRadio.com, our purpose is to bring to you information that you might not necessarily be able to access on any other site. We're bringing you information about supporting your health from a very scientific as well as very natural point of view. Hi, Dr. Slavin. What's on your agenda for today?
Hi, Janet. You know, one of the things that motivate me, you know, to do the radio show and motivate me in my practice with patients is to try and identify the causes of illness as opposed to the drugs used to treat it. And there's a big distinction that needs to be made there, because the way doctors are trained, it's about prescribing drugs.
Putting a group of symptoms together, giving a name to that group of symptoms and calling it a syndrome or a disease, and then having a specific pharmaceutical or group of pharmaceuticals that are focused on that group of symptoms, but with no acknowledgement of the underlying development of those symptoms.
We have to understand that doctors are trained in the hospital setting. So right off the bat, they're looking at a skewed population.
A diseased population.
Very sick. And they have to keep them alive, basically. You know, you don't get into a hospital unless you're in danger of dying with your problem.
We're very grateful for that focus of being able to keep people alive.
And as such, all they, you know, as far as their focus on the patient, you know, they'll do testing to make sure that they're not in imminent danger of dying. So a complete blood count, which looks at their white blood cell count, their hemoglobin, make sure they're not anemic, and their platelet count. And then they do the serum chemistries to make sure their electrolytes are working and their kidney and liver functions are all normal. But that's just to sustain them to the point of allowing them to get well enough to leave the hospital. So, and here's an interesting observation that I've made. I think in the back of their mind, and this is subconscious on the doctor's point, is when a patient leaves the hospital or when a patient doesn't require the hospital, in their mind, the patient is healthy. And I think that's an important distinction.
It's a huge distinction, Dr. Slavin.
Do you agree with that?
I certainly do. And I talk all the time about our approach to people's symptoms is a disease care system, not a healthcare system. Healthcare would imply we do all manner of things to support underlying function of the body that creates health rather than a chemical to obscure a symptom.
Now, to justify what we said, just answer this question. How many people have been in and out of the hospital multiple times for the same problem?
Oh, and unfortunately, we see that over and over and over and over and over again in our older population, so that a huge number of our dollars are spent at the end of life.
So the doctors are, you know, stabilizing a patient, hopefully preventing them from dying when they enter the hospital and getting them well enough to leave the hospital, but they haven't gotten them well and they haven't addressed the underlying problem that is causing this repeat hospitalizations. Now, what is that? Is it because the patient didn't take their medicine? Is it, or is it, it's multifactorial. And I have to tell you, if you're 70 or 80 years old and you haven't taken care of your health, you can start then, but it would have been much better to start in your 30s.
Well, I'm thinking of a particular individual that I know, diagnosed with a specific type of cancer, went to the very, very best facility in the United States to be treated. Their discussion with him led to the decision to take their treatment because they said that they dealt with a 95% success rate treating his particular diagnosis. And that success rate, I presume, is based on survival for a year, survival for 3 years, survival for 5 years. Okay, the person has survived for 3 years with extreme difficulty and significant loss of quality of life. And here we've spent an enormous amount of money. The patient has survived, but the truth of the matter is it had nothing to do with health, nothing to do with underlying benefits that were achieved after the treatment. And the interesting part of this entire discussion is this individual sought out medical treatment 10 years before the correct diagnosis was given, and his statement received from the specialist that he saw 10 years before the correct diagnosis was, "Oh, it's nothing, you're getting older," just different dismissive statements like that. And so the patient knew that was something wrong, but because of the narrow focus that our practitioners use, they weren't able to uncover the underlying disease that was developing.
Well, basically, that's the way doctors are trained. They're specifically trained to prescribe drugs. If you don't have a reason for the drug, they don't know what to do for you. And unfortunately, too many people think that nobody else can help you. If the doctor can't prescribe a drug for you, you can't be helped. And there's a big problem there. I just want to pass along something that's getting some attention. And we've talked about this before, intermittent fasting.
Ah, okay.
And we're talking about this in the context of what can you stay to keep healthy? What can you do to keep healthy? And intermittent fasting is one of the things everybody could start right away. But here's the headline. Researchers work on getting intermittent fasting FDA approved as adjunct cancer treatment to improve long-term survival rates.
Describe intermittent fasting, because I think sometimes when you use the word fasting, it's difficult for some people to imagine that they would be able to do it. And indeed, intermittent fasting is something that most people can do.
Yeah, the idea with intermittent fasting is to eat during an 8-hour window, and therefore you're fasting for a 16-hour window. 16 hours giving your body more times to regulate itself, normalize itself, control insulin levels, blood sugar levels, heal itself.
The interesting part that how I see it with regard to the intermittent fasting is instead of your body using energy to digest food and metabolize it on a cellular level, your body uses that energy to identify non-self substances within the body and efficiently break them down.
So we know with intermittent fasting, a couple of things happen right away. As I just mentioned, you know, insulin levels are better controlled. Your blood sugar is better controlled. You'll lose weight because you'll start burning fat as well. But what they're looking for is, as far as the adjunctive treatment for cancer, that's interesting. Now, we've always talked about the cancer diet, and basically the cancer diet is limiting carbohydrates and sugar consumption.
And such a critically important statement, very, very basic. And when we talk carbohydrates, I remind people, yes, the vegetables are carbohydrates. What you want to concentrate on eliminating with the carbohydrate category of nutrition choices is grains, and particularly processed grain products, grains that come out of a factory rather than directly from the plant.
Now, in this report, here's what they state. Earlier research has demonstrated that calorie restriction helps extend the lifespan of animals by improving insulin sensitivity and inhibiting the mTOR pathway. Fasting has also been shown to starve cancer cells while simultaneously protecting cells from chemotherapy toxicity. But here's what's the beauty of intermittent fasting is, it's a lot easier to comply with as opposed to the other types of fasting. You know, used to, people would always talk about juice fast, water fast. This is something you can do every day pretty much effortlessly, although I've had patients tell me, oh, I have to eat something in the morning. So I say, okay, then finish eating by 4 o'clock at night.
Right, you know, right. So. One of the things that I describe to people to initiate for them in their minds the safety and support their ability to do fasting is start with one 24-hour period. And you can drink as much of water and lemon, herb teas, green tea. Drink every time you starting to feel a sensation of hunger, have something like that profile of choices to drink. And you will be amazed at how well you get through a 24-hour period. Then the introduction back into consuming food would be very, very good quality soups, vegetable soups, and then ultimately vegetables, then your regular food choices.
There was a study published recently in the journal Cell Metabolism, and it found that just 2 cycles a month of a 4-day-long low-calorie fast or low-calorie intake produced multi-system regeneration in mice.
Multi-system regeneration. That's huge.
So here's specifically what they saw. Visceral belly fat was reduced, and the risk for cancer and inflammatory diseases declined. Meanwhile, immune and brain function improved, and lifespan was increased. In the mouse brain, neurons were regenerated, improving learning and memory. And you know what? The best part of this doesn't cost anything.
It's amazing what you can do to support your good health that doesn't cost a lot of money. And keep in mind, when something is very, very expensive, it's someone selling it to you. And you have to be convinced that it is the right thing for you. We're not selling anything right here on naturaldocradio.com. We're bringing you information that will support your good health.
Now, a lot of times you say, well, that's in mice or in other laboratory animals. But in a pilot human trial, 3 cycles of a similar diet were given to 19 subjects once a month for 5 days. And it decreased risk factors and biomarkers for aging, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer with no major adverse side effects.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, would you suggest that people who have been diagnosed with diabetes, that they're on some diabetic medication to control their high blood sugar, that they discuss with you how to approach this intermittent fasting? I think it's really important for people to understand what they need to know.
Well, the first thing, and this is how we approach patients, is motivating them to do things like this. And the way you do it is you don't stop with a CBC and a chemistry panel.
Because for sure.
Those tests are just looking to see if you're eligible to be hospitalized.
And eligible for certain medications. And it's that endless cycle of insurance payment, blood test, pharmaceutical, insurance payment, blood test, pharmaceutical.
So we do other testing, like I mentioned here. We look at the biomarkers for aging, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and cancer that aren't done with a CBC and a chem panel. So now you get to get the real feedback on how your body is functioning. And you might be surprised that there's a lot of room for improvement. And for many people, that's a motivating factor. And then when we retest you, usually about 3 months later, and you see the improvement, that reinforces the behavior changes you've made. And hopefully you continue that.
And it's important for people to understand that you don't change lifelong habits overnight, that it does take time. So using this intermittent fasting, it's a learning process. Perhaps you don't necessarily start at your goal number. Maybe you start at a 12-hour number. Maybe you then move to a 10-hour eating time frame and a 14-hour fasting period. Then you go from the 10-hour to the 8-hour. And one of the things that that does teach you is to observe how your body responds. Dr. Slavin, do you help your patients understand how to observe those changes they're experiencing?
Well, first of all, a lot of times they notice the changes. If they're taking their own blood pressure, their blood pressure goes down. They'll notice the weight has gone down. When we do the testing, they'll see that their blood sugar markers have gone down, their insulin levels have gone down, their inflammatory markers have gone down. I mean, you see improvement across the board, the cholesterol, and other fats in the blood. You know, there are a lot of fats in the blood besides cholesterol. And you know what? Eating cholesterol doesn't raise your cholesterol.
Oh, absolutely. I try to explain that to people, that high-quality butter, that fat, is not a danger with regard to raising your cholesterol number. So often, unfortunately, patients are told you must eat a low-fat diet. And so what do they go to? They go to other carbohydrate choices to keep themselves satisfied. And the truth of the matter is, high quality fats are going to create that satiety and have that satisfaction last for a longer period of time. So it's a very, very delicate balance of choosing the right foods. And my big thing is stay away from processed, packaged foods.
And because what you find there are trans fats, and that was really the big culprit, was trans fats when it comes to cardiovascular disease, and of course carbohydrates.
Processed carbohydrates, refined carbohydrates, high sugar carbohydrates.
And when you do that, I mean, that's what wellness is all about. Wellness is not about who can get the most prescriptions. Wellness is about who can get the most normal results on a blood test.
Okay, and how about the patient ability to assess their energy, the quality of the sleep, that when they wake up in the morning, they actually feel rested, that when they eat a wide range of different types of food, they don't create burning, indigestion, heaviness in their digestive tract, that elimination is normal and easy. And so when the patient is able to make those assessments of feeling well, feeling themselves, feeling like their old self, that's an absolutely valuable ability. And with the observation of the changes, using these different approaches to supporting health, the patient is engaged with their physician and connected with that testing. And yes, doc, I feel better.
Well, we're going to obviously, if you're hearing this, you know that you're on naturaldocradio.com. And I'm going to post some other information that you can read specifically about the benefits of intermittent fasting. And I always have to end up, anytime we talk about health and how to stay healthy, you always got to keep in the back of your mind that stress plays a major role too.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, you know, we can look at, you know, these tests might indirectly reflect stress of, you know, emotional stress psychological stress, not just physical stress. But what you think about plays a, can play a major role too. And unfortunately, I don't know that we have good ways of identifying that and correcting it.
Well, I think sometimes people feel overwhelmed if they have some psychological, emotional stresses going on. They have some workplace stresses going on, relationship stresses, all of that. And then they hear us speaking about, oh, well, intermittent fasting. Oh, that's frightening, you know, could produce anxiety. But that's what we're here for, to create the specific personal program that doesn't enhance anxiety, but rather reduces it.
And one of the ways to deal with stress or prevent stress is regular daily exercise is a stress reducer. It's a way of having your body discharge all that pent-up emotions you might have. So regular exercise is a good way. And then maybe every 3 months, if you could take, say, 4 days off in a row, just get yourself away from everything, and you figure out how to do that, can make a big difference as well.
One of the things that I think is important is for people to learn to not necessarily be so attached to the media. There's a lot of frightening stuff in the news, and I think that we should be informed, but we shouldn't necessarily attach too much significance about our own safety and well-being to what we see in the media. It's frightening, and it does produce a lot of anxiety. There are a lot of natural approaches that support your brain chemistry so that you see what's going on in the world, but you understand that for the here and now, for you, you're safe, and your brain is working, and your digestive system is working, and your immune system is working, your muscles are supported. All of the different functions of your body are very well supported. Supported with exercise, supported with very good food, and supported with supplements, because unfortunately we're not necessarily able to get everything we need for our own personal well-being from our foods. And you have been tuned to NaturalDocRadio.com. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been speaking with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we wish you a very, very healthy day and look forward to you returning to hear more from us here on NaturalDocRadio.com.